Welcome to The Contemplative Life. Three pastors, friends, and spiritual companions help us explore spirituality through a contemplative lens.
I'm Christina Roberts.
I'm Chris Roberts.
I'm Christina Kaiser. We're glad you joined us.
Hello, it's great to be with you. Today, we are discussing the topic of non-duality. And for those who might be a little unfamiliar with what that is, we really tend to think of non-duality in terms of the both and, this kind of idea that expands our awareness of God, expands our idea of an acceptance of others and the world around us. And so we'll probably look at this in multiple lenses throughout our time today, but we thought we would start with non-dual awareness, which could be described as this awareness of God, connection to God, both in the dark aspects of our lives, the struggle, the suffering, and in those happier, celebratory, lighter areas of our lives. So as we get going, how about I'll just open the conversation to all of us. What is your experience of non-duality?
Well, I think for me, where non-duality is really present in my life, or how I think about it, is in the whole notion of dark and light and night and day. And I've just been on a journey recently that, you know, like there are things that happen in darkness that cannot happen in the light. And it is essential to my growth as an individual, just as much as the light is. And so for me, it's like, you know, light and dark, good and bad, you know, those things can be dualistic thinking, like this is good, this is bad. And I'm not saying that, you know, there is no bad or there is no evil. Like I think in our world right now, there is evil that is happening with wars and stuff. But I'm thinking with personal choice, like our own journey, how do we get rid of dualistic thinking? And I think it's just an awareness of God in all things. Like God is in the more challenging, or what we would say dark seasons, dark nights of the soul. Those are a part of your journey. Those are a part of your story. And embracing that can be super helpful instead of saying, oh, this is not good. This is a place that I don't want to be. It actually is a good place for you. And finding God in the midst of that place can be helpful. So that's what I think of when I think of a non-dual awareness.
What comes up for me is language. And I really appreciate, Christina, you naming both and, because I think for me, awareness starts with paying attention to what words are coming out of my mouth, what thoughts pop into my head. And when I recognize that I have an either or situation, and that happens all the time where I'm talking about something and I'll catch myself and I'll acknowledge what I just said, and I'll try to bring in the other aspect of that. And that's been a really important practice for me in even recognizing how dualistic I am in the way that I approach life, and this invitation to maybe lean into more of non-duality. So I think for me, just kind of that basic level of language and awareness has been super helpful.
Yeah, the both and language is very helpful. And even as both of you are talking, this word that starts to roll through my head is compassion, because, you know, I think there was a huge part of me for a long time that just wanted God to be all good, right? That all the good came from God. And what did that mean? So the wrestling with what goes on in the struggle, I think there was for a long time this sense of, oh, you got to just get happy and you got to get to that good place and you got to get your faith right somehow, as opposed to God having compassion when we are in the middle of a difficult time. And I was reading a Roar Daily Digest recently, and there was a different person writing the article that day, but they were talking about all those scriptures about do not fear, and kind of pointing out that a lot of times we read that in a voice that's kind of harsh, like get it together, pull yourself together, sort of. Whereas maybe it's kind of like, come here, don't be afraid. And what voice do we read in? And then the more that I thought about it, the more I realized I need both of those, actually, not just one of those. Sometimes I'm going to need, get it together. And sometimes I'm going to need, come here, it's okay. You know, I'm going to need both of those actually, depending on the situation.
Yeah. And I think even Chris, to your point earlier too, with the light and dark, we've talked before on this podcast about Barbara Brown Taylor. She wrote a wonderful book, Learning to Walk in the Dark. And someone had asked her in her interview after the book was out, you know, if there's anything that she would change having walked through the pandemic. And she said that she would write more about dusk and dawn, where the coming together of dark and light happen. And that was just so striking to me. And in my own life, after reading that, paying attention to those moments. And that's when those are the Instagram worthy photos, right? It's the, did you see this beautiful sunset tonight? No filter. And there's something about the dark and light meeting. Even here in Wisconsin, it's technically it's spring. And so we will have a sunny day, but also there's like these like huge snowflakes that were falling the other day. And so it's this sort of like winter and spring are still meshed together. They haven't quite separated yet. And how do we experience that? And I think that there's nuance to that. There's complexity, there's gradient. And to me, that feels very invitational in the non-dualistic thinking is it doesn't have to be all or nothing, that there's just these shades and these gradients that we get to experience in our lives.
Yeah. And I think what we're describing here is just an openness to more, like an openness to like seeing beyond where we're at, you know, maybe taking a bird's eye view rather than a, you know, myopic or microscopic view of our world. And I think for me, like where this really comes into play is when people talk about decisions or making decisions, or when I'm thinking about making a decision, it's like, well, which decision should I make? Or what, I need help in discerning here about life. What do I do? What do I choose? And, you know, sometimes I think it doesn't matter which choice that I choose, you know, like I think God will be in the midst of whatever choice. And we think, well, I better choose the right one, because if I don't, things will go bad. Well, if that is the case, if things go bad, there's something to learn. There's something to experience from this choice that if we have a different viewpoint, a vantage point, we're gonna get what we need to in that season rather than like just sort of trudging through. So that's another thing that comes up for me as we think about dualistic thinking or non-duality.
Yeah. And as we're talking, even as we think back to that day and nighttime coming together, it's sort of this opportunity to observe the outer world and let it teach us something about our inner world. Like, look what's happening here. Look what you can see. Look how these two things can blend and merge together. How is that true in all of life? What does this teach me about life in general? So that then we start to be able to look at our decisions like you're talking about, and culture and other people's lives and the decisions that they're making. It doesn't. And so we're talking a little bit about non-dualistic thinking too, right? So we have awareness, our connection of God, thinking in this both and kind of, there is subtleness, there is mystery, so that it's not your way or my way, your culture or my culture. There's room for both of these possibilities, which is so opening. It's so freeing.
Yeah. And I think that when we can lean into that, you know, I'm just thinking of the prayer of examine and having the practice of naming what were my consolations, where did I experience God and goodness today? And what were my desolations? Where did I feel an absence of that? And oftentimes it can be in the same memory. It could be in the same scenario where I felt a profound sense of God in that moment and a dissonance in that moment as well. I'm thinking of the movie Inside Out for those who are Pixar fans. And in that movie too, all the emotions are behind the scenes. And when she's thinking back to some of her memories, some of them did include sadness and joy and just this profound relationship of those two coming together. And so I think whether it's our thinking and expanding the way in which we're engaging with others, our emotional awareness, all of that, I think, again, you're talking about this expansiveness. It grows us. We have so much more richness to experience in life when we're not doing that. And I think also it's, you know, dualism's comfortable, right? It's like, these are my two choices. It's not complicated, right? And I think sometimes it's easy to think, well, how can there possibly be something beyond either of these two choices, right? These are the options that are in front of me. And yet I think when we're committed to a non-dualistic framework, things emerge that otherwise wouldn't appear to us, right? Or come to the surface. And so I think that feels very much in connection with, it's not just me in my little life, but there is a divine presence at work too, sort of amping up the opportunities and the experiences.
Yeah. I was reading something recently about how certain we are when we think we know, right? When we think we know, everything becomes very limited and there are no other options. And when that's not true, how many options actually exist to us? And it is profound, and it's hard to leave that sense of knowing. It's hard to expand our own selves and say, maybe there are more options here. But it's funny, I was in a conversation recently where one person was thinking one very specific way about another human, and they were asking me about my opinion. And then the other person came in and we were able to ask them. They had a totally different idea and description of the way things were. And it really kind of shook me, because I realized if I wouldn't have had those two people in front of me, I would have so easily been swayed to the first person's side. But getting the chance to hear both, I was like, oh, this is different. There's more than one possibility here, and it's experience-based and all sorts of things. So just more people in the room really helped me to open up my own thinking.
Yeah, I love that. There's more than one possibility. And it's funny, even you bringing up, you know, Inside Out, the movie, we were actually had a get together the other day, and we were talking about a couple of different films like that, Inside Out, Soul. And one of the statements was, those movies are not for children. You know, like, they're so deep and they're really for adults, these concepts. And I had the thought, well, why can't it be for adults and children? Why can't we put some of these concepts in their thinking already? And I understand what the person was saying. These are big, heavy concepts that all adults need to partake of and to listen to. But I think it's not for this, it's for this. Well, can it be for both? And so I really appreciate what you guys are saying.
And I think too, in, you know, theological circles, often the term third way is something that emerges when thinking about non-duality, that when we're looking at scripture too, and I, you know, even your point, Chris, that the Bible is so profound, and for deep theologians that can spend their whole life studying one book of the Bible, and, you know, a six-year-old can connect with something in the Bible too. And so I love the complexity and richness and the simplicity of that as well. So I think in all the different things that we're naming, that there's those sort of both and opportunities.
That is very profound. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. And then in bringing it all back to this connection to God aspect of it, that somehow God is in the moments of our day. Prayer then doesn't have to only be asking. Prayer can be abiding, walking with. There's so many more options as we start to really sit in the notion of both and non-dualistic. So thank you guys so much for opening up this conversation. I'm sure it will come up in a million different ways as we move forward into our lives. But for now, now is the time that we take a moment to talk about what we are into. So pray tell, what are you into these days?
Well, I am drinking coffee from my Canada mug. So our family recently returned from a spring break trip to Canada, and it was so much fun. And I'm usually not a souvenir kind of person, but my kids are super into souvenirs, and they had this Dollarama shop at one of the places in Montreal. And so we gave the kids a couple bucks, and then we found these fun Canada mugs. And so I am happily drinking from my Canada mug, remembering and reminiscing about our trip.
Well, I'm into something that's similar to Christina. Actually said we just got back from a trip from Canada. And when I was 20 years old, I had a friend that went on a trip to Canada, and they brought me back a hat that it was a specific brand. Roots is the brand, and it, you know, it has a Canadian flag on it. And I thought, well, while I'm in Canada, I'd really like to get a Roots hat. And so in one of those souvenir shops, actually, I found myself a Roots hat that actually has a Canadian flag on the back, the logo, and it reminds me of my friendship with this person in my young adult years. So I am also into souvenirs.
That is so lovely.
More expensive souvenirs.
Well, I'm happy for both of you. It is always fun to get away. So woohoo. I am not into anything related to travel, but this is our second year getting ready to plant a garden. So last year it was sort of like plant all the things, see what happens. And this year we are becoming more specific. So I learned that there is a schedule for planting certain types of seeds. And so we have a whole written out, like this date, we're going to plant these seeds and this date, these are going outside and these just go in the ground. I am very excited to see what happens. So that is what I am into right now. Well, thank you everyone for being with us. If you would like to connect more, you're welcome to visit our website, thecontemplativelife.net. You can subscribe to our newsletter there. You can grab our email address and connect with us or see what we have coming up in the future or check out our resources tab. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll talk to you all soon. Bye, everybody.